Welcome to New Creation Fellowship's Proclamation Podcast. The vision of New Creation Fellowship is to live out heaven's cultural values through creative, redemptive innovation, so that people from all nations may experience the glorious reality of new creation in Christ. Next time you're in the Orlando area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning liturgy. Just visit our website at newcreationorl.org for more information on NCF. And now, may you receive the proclamation of the Word of God as it truly is the Word of God.
You may build great cathedrals, large or small. You can build skyscrapers, grand and tall. You may conquer all the failures of your past, but only what you do for Christ will last.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Remember only what you do for Christ will last. Remember only what you do for Christ will last. Only what you do for Him will be counted in the very end. Only what you do for Christ will last. Only what you do for Christ will last. We got to remember that only what we do for Christ, it will last.
Hallelujah.
Even as believers and followers of Jesus, we can forget the actual meaning of life.
Yeah.
Colossians says, in Christ, who is my life. Even as believers, we can let the things of the world distract us from the purity of the mission that the Lord has called us to. We learned last week that the call was very simple. It was follow me, and I will make you a fisher of people. But if I'm honest, and if I have any other honest people in the room, our careers, our families, this idea of success, worldly pleasures, idolatry, sin, insecurities, fears, the love of money, and these different things can draw us away from the original purpose that the Lord has created us on the earth for. It's easy. I'm guilty. We can even take something like ministry, and we can make it more about us than who is actually about the Lord Jesus. Nowadays, Christianity is profitable. Because if you're charismatic enough, you can say things are true, yet not live any of the truth that you're talking about, and your podcast will be viral. We live in a generation now where even our young kids don't even think about clocking into work. They're trying to get on TikTok and create a dance. Because right now, it is easy to create influence. It's very easy. All you have to do now is turn a phone around and have enough charisma. And we live in such a gullible world that every idiot will have a following. And we look at this man, Jesus, and we see something that is pure. There's a theological principle that's like the law of first mention, where when you see something in the text for the first time, you see the purity of it. And so if we're following the text, not what we know, but if we're following the story of the scriptures, this is our first time seeing Jesus. There were prophetic things about him. There were words spoken about this man coming, but we actually get to see him live and in person on, literally on paper, on earth. We saw last week the purity of what he meant when he said, follow me, not what we have made follow me become. And now we are about to see the purity of ministry. Jesus was literally an itinerant rabbi. Like most rabbis, he was not stationary. Because most rabbis were stationary. And they like, you're going to come to me for this teaching. But yet again, we see the humility of our Savior, who's like, no, I'm still going to come to my people. We see in verse 23, where he was literally like, now Jesus began to go all over Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. Now Jesus began to go all over Galilee. There are some writings that are literally like there were over 200 plus places that Jesus could have gone. Wow. Remember what we said last week, that he got fishermen because they were hard workers. But my favorite thing about our leader is that he will always model that which he has us to follow. So we actually get to see the hard work of Jesus literally going to the people that he loves. He began his ministry going all over Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. That word teaching there is explicitly talking about holding discourse with others in order to instruct them, to deliver didactic discourse of moral instructions. So every time you see this word in the New Testament, didasco, it literally is saying, and it's referring to the teaching of the text. What is uncomfortable to me is that people are going all over the internet teaching, but they are not teaching the text. What's happening in this world? People are being fed opinions. People are being fed ideologies. People are even being fed church doctrine that doesn't even tie to the scriptures. And we have many people who sit in churches who only know church colloquialisms and don't even know the scriptures. If Jesus, who could have been a one to just say some stuff, yet he chose to submit himself to the teaching of the Torah. How much more those of us in this room, because guess what? Teaching ain't just for preachers. Teaching is you too. You need to be a student of the word so that when you are talking about the word, you are talking about truth and not your own opinion. Jesus began ministry, an itinerant traveling ministry, all over Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. Let's talk about the synagogue because we have to. People in this day did not have what we have. We actually have the whole scroll. And we still don't read it. Help, Lord. But when the people would gather in the synagogue, which would be more than one time a week at times, because they needed to hear. They wanted to hear the story. It was the only way they were going to learn it. It was orally read. And then someone taught what was read. And for many people, if they didn't come to the synagogue, there was no way for them to like learn it. So Jesus went on a synagogue tour. Here's why, though. Not for popularity and not to become the most greatest world renowned rabbi, but it was to reveal himself because he knew that people needed him. Isn't it ironic? Alanis Moore said, that's crazy. That there are people who stand on God's stages and talk about everybody except him. We create theologies of haterism. We pump up people in the room to be like, hey, you're going to get that. You're going to get this. You're going to get that. What happens when I don't? And God has been blamed for stuff that he never said. Because we're in the synagogue, but we're not teaching the scriptures. Notice it said a discourse about moral instruction. The first time in the Bible that the word teach was even mentioned was in Exodus 4. When God was telling Moses to go and talk to Pharaoh. Wow. Moses was like, I don't know how to talk. The Lord said, I will teach you what to say. Could a principle in that be that none of us are qualified to say anything on behalf of God anyway, outside of him teaching us? Let that be a principle. Second time it was mentioned was Exodus 18. And that was the meeting with Jethro, where he literally said, if you do not train leaders, you're going to wear yourself out and them. In other words, in Ebonics, you're going to get on their nerves if you don't begin to teach and instruct other people. Here's a principle in that. Ministry just can't be a monolith of one person. That we are called as teachers to teach and to instruct, so that others can participate in the ministry that God has called us all to. I love when I heard this. Every member is a minister and every person who is in Christ is a preacher. There is a message inside of you that should be bubbling out because you are a student of the word. You have hidden the word in your heart that you may not sin against him. You've hidden the word in your heart so that when people come to you, it is what's oozing out of you and not the opinion of man. Jesus is showing us the purity of ministry. The purity of teaching. It's so people can live right. The purity. I don't know about y'all, but I can feel the lack of purity when it comes to this thing. I'm telling y'all, I ask the Lord all the time. Whenever it's time, I never want to taint this. If I ever get in the way of anybody seeing Jesus, what it says in scripture, let my tongue be accursed. It is a weight. Don't the scripture say that everyone shouldn't try to be teachers? And oh boy, oh Lord, this was not in my study notes. We live in such a virtual world that people don't think that they will be held accountable for podcasts. Oh, you good, sister. We holler back here. Like we become so virtual that we disassociated that my thumbs. We almost need to do a 2025 version of the text of James about your mouth. It's your mouth and your thumb. The statuses that we put on social media, that's teaching. That's words. So when James say, be mindful of your mouth, he's talking about your thumb too. We live in such a disconnected society that we don't even think that those things count, but they count. Jesus went teaching in the synagogues. I want to say this about the synagogue as well. My prayer, especially here at New Creation Fellowship, is that we will come back to an actual reverence of the gathering of the saints. Where these people were glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I remember growing up where my week was surrounded around the church. And then with me being in the choir since six, we had choir rehearsal. My grandma was the usher board leader, so we had to clean up. Saturday prayer. And selling donuts. My little six-year-old butt with 10 boxes of donuts. Would you like to buy a box of donuts? Because we're trying to build a church. Wow, wow. Sunday, I was there for Sunday school. And then we had Sunday night service, which was radio broadcast. And a lot of us 20, 25 people saying, ooh, Pastor Meech, that was abuse. No. It helped me with holiness. I ain't have time to see. But I remember the purity of that time. I remember the purity of Wednesday night Bible study. It was something. And for those who grew up around that time, it was just something. You felt, I didn't feel abused. I felt safe. I felt like there was a refuge. I felt like there was a checkpoint. And my prayer for us in the body of Christ is that we will reorient, because what does disciples do? They reorient their minds. That we will reorient our minds with the gathering of the saints. Hebrews is like, do not neglect the gathering of the saints. They regularly met. We see in the early, we see Jesus at 12 being in the synagogue. So if Jesus regularly attended the synagogue and he was the one every time that they was preaching about. Okay, y'all get it. All right. Now, Jesus began to go all over Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Here is a nuance with preaching. The word preaching literally means in this text, it's like it's caruso, to be a herald. And here's my favorite part, a public crier. To be a herald, a public crier, especially with divine truth. A herald, a public crier. Let me give us some historical context. So the word good news, euangelion, which is literally good news, glad tidings, is not hysterically a Christian word. When a new king was put into place, there would be a person that will be on a little chariot or something, rolling around every neighborhood, crying out, hail King Cicero or whoever his name is. It's a new king. Christians, disciples, we're like, no, we the one that actually got the announcement. Yes, sir. So we hijacked it and we actually made it real good news because we actually have a king. So Jesus literally was preaching about the coming of himself. How much more should those of us who stand on the stage or those of us who entertain other people preach Christ and him crucified exclusively? We don't have another message.
That's it.
Paul said, I choose to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. You can call me uneducated. You can call me unlearned. You can say he say the same thing. But here at New Creation Fellowship, Jesus will always be preached. Because there is no other reason to gather. If you are gathering because a charismatic preacher or a worship team, go home right now and watch the French Open. I'm a tennis fan. They playing right now. And I want to know who win. If you are coming for a human, can I? Oh, boy. The purity of teaching and preaching was to proclaim Jesus. In Colossians, it says, him we proclaim, warning everybody. Why? So that we can be mature. Remember teaching moral instructions? Preaching and teaching, interchangeable. One explains, one proclaims. Hand in hand. In the synagogue and in public. Do y'all know one of the things I used to, in Birmingham, we had this dude who had this sign and he would be like, the wages of sin is death. And he was faithful. Every day he got the sign, he wearing it, the wages of sin is death. And I just remembered. I said, there's something else to that verse. That's actually bad news. Where the good news? So my petty self, every time I drive by, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. If we're going to preach, preach the whole news. When we see good news, when we see gospel, when we see kingdom, every kingdom has a king. And for us, the king of our kingdom is literally King Jesus. We are not just telling people what it takes to be saved. The gospel is a way fuller thing. It is the actual whole scripture. It's the whole of the scripture. And in it, there's the plan of salvation. It's the whole life of Jesus. It's the whole situation. It's his return. Because this ain't it. It's the whole story. Jesus, the purity of ministry, found himself teaching in the synagogue and proclaiming and heralding in public the good news of the kingdom. And guess what? And healing every disease and sickness among the people. Now, there's a tension because I'm afraid teaching, preaching, and healing has become a source of division in the body of Christ. Where there are denominations and sectors of people that separate based on style of teaching, certain doctrines, and then whether you slaying folks out every week in your church services. When the purity of teaching and preaching, the healing was an overflow, because what the healing represented was the authority and the power of the preaching, but more so the preacher. Notice how we've taken the glory from Jesus, even in healings. We're talking more about the thing than the one. Yes. Let me tell us something about healing, though. Oh, boy. In Genesis 3, shalom was broken. Before that fall, things were peaceful. In the real beginning, there was gross chaos, but then there was a spirit hovering over. So that's a whole nother thing. But they were walking in the cool of the day with the Lord. We literally sin And then that shalom literally broken. Now we see sin and decay from that moment on. Could it be that if Jesus is proclaiming a message of good news of the kingdom, that even a healing was a sign of his kingdom coming on earth as it already is in heaven? Could it be that Jesus is literally showing us that I came here for restoration? And so when I heal a person, it's not just about the physical healing. It's literally about the restoration that I am showing you that is now and will to come when this thing is over.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. The word healing in the Greek is literally to serve. Isn't that crazy? You would think it's to cast out. It's therapuo. Think about that. To serve. To do service. And this literally said, literally, the compassionate and restorative nature of Jesus's work. That's what the healings were showing us. This was not just about these miracles. It was pointing us to something bigger. It was showing us a sign of what's to come. Those of us in Christ, we do know this ain't it, right? We do know this ain't the best. Do we really know that? Can I see your hand if you know that? I want to make sure we know that. This isn't the best. There will come a day where our Lord will return. And there will be perfect shalom again. But this time without the cause of it not being perfect again. We will be forever in shalom with our Lord. No more sickness. No more decay. No more grief and no more sorrow. No more tears. I didn't understand it when the church kept talking about this day when Jesus returns. I now understand it because I have suffered in this world, but I look forward to the day when there will be no more suffering, no more lacking, no more decay. When we see the purity of Jesus' ministry, his teaching. Remember that time that he went to the synagogue, opened the scroll, and he didn't have to explain it because he was the explanation. He literally read it, rolled it back up, and was like, today, this has been fulfilled before you. These people said, wait, what did he just say? And they tried to throw him off a cliff, but it wasn't time yet. Our Lord, even at 12, he was marveling people with what he knew in the scriptures. And the Bible kept saying that he grew in stature and favor with God and with man. We see our Savior teaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness among the people. Then the news about him spread, verse 24, throughout Syria. Now we're preaching all over Galilee. Now the news about you is spreading in Syria. So they brought to him all those who were afflicted, those suffering from various diseases and intense pain, the demon possessed. That is a real thing. It's a real thing, even today, where people are influenced and controlled by the evil one and the epileptics. That actually, in the original language, literally is talking about, this is an interesting word. It's like those who are controlled by the moon. It's moonstruck. It's a lunatic. And it's the seizures. It's a double meaning. Some had seizures and some were going out of their mind crazy. Various diseases, intense pains, and the demon possessed, the epileptics and the paralytics. Y'all remember the story? And he healed them. Can I give this right here? So they brought to him. Who are you bringing to him? Or have you become content with seeing those around you sick? And I'm not just talking about physical ailments. I'm talking about the greater sickness, which is sin sick. The news about him spread, but they brought to him. You remember the story about the paralytic? Well, they found out where Jesus was, and they said, I'm going to get my home into Jesus if I have to cut somebody's roof out. So much time we spend our faith only on ourselves, and we are always around people who are sick. Who is the last person that you brought to him? Do you know why they brought them to him? Because they knew that nothing was too hard for him. Remember what we said earlier?
Yep.
Notice Jesus' diversity of ministry. He wasn't just preaching. He wasn't just teaching, but he also was healing. And he is the great physician. Most times you have a person that specializes in one thing, but Jesus, anything you brought to him, he was able to heal, he was able to free, and he was able to deliver. I pray that the faith in the Lord Jesus returns to the church, because there is nothing too hard for him. There is no one in your life that is demon possessed or struggling that he cannot heal. It said they brought it to him and he healed them. He healed them. He restored them. He freed them. Because that is the purpose of the announcement of the gospel of the kingdom. It is to free. It is to liberate. It is to heal. It is to restore. That is what Jesus does. If you need proof and you are a believer, look at yourself. What's that hymn? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. There were seasons of my life where I was a lunatic. My mind was ate up. But Jesus healed me and he freed me. I felt led to encourage somebody who got a family member that you think is impossible for the Lord. There is no one that is impossible for the Lord to free and to heal. If I was in my home church, they would have threw me off this stage and we wouldn't be able to move on. But we dignified in the house of the Lord this morning. I just said that there is nothing too hard for Jesus. It seems hard for you. It's hard for you. Because you cast the net out a few times and they didn't bite. But unless the Lord opens the eye won't be open. It's hard for me. I don't know what kind of conversation to have with my siblings. It's hard for me. I don't know how to convert nobody, but there is somebody that if he opens their eyes, their eyes going to be open. The greatest miracle is when Jesus turns a heart of stone into a heart of flesh and makes it responsive to the Lord. There is nothing too hard for God. And let's go here so it can hit home. There is no addiction that you are in that the Lord cannot free you from. There is no proclivity that he cannot save. No condition. We're seeing the purity of ministry. And it's all about Jesus. Notice this. Large crowds follow him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Here's my fear, though. Why were the crowds there? Because we see through the scriptures that when Jesus taught, it didn't necessarily make people happy.
Right.
When Jesus preached, especially in public, it caused an uproar. This is why we need discernment. Because large doesn't necessarily mean success or pleasure. There are a lot of people who follow Jesus, because that word follow is not necessarily like the follow of the disciples. There could be those of us that follow because of what we can get from it. Jesus always had a crowd. Here's the interesting thing, too. That was never his goal. His goal was never a crowd. As a matter of fact, Jesus wasn't even the kind of crowd kind of person. Jesus didn't have a pretty brand. Jesus didn't have persuasive words. This multi-ethnic crowd, again, these three scriptures are even showing the fulfillment of what was promised to Abraham, that through him many nations would be blessed. So we don't ignore Syria, Judea, the capitalist. We don't ignore that. That's the purity of ministry. Because when Jesus is lifted, he draws all kinds of fish. So it shouldn't be a shock when a gathering of believers is multi-ethnic and diverse. And it's nothing that you have to do as a church planning mechanism. If you exalt Jesus and do what he actually said do, the fish will already be multi-multi. There was also not a people group that Jesus would not address. I have a question for me, for us. Is there a type of person you're not willing to preach to? Is there a type of person you're not willing to pray over? If we're looking at the purity of ministry, there was no one that Jesus did not serve. There was no type of person that he would not heal. This large crowd that was gathered would also represent another large crowd that would not gather for healing, but they would gather to wound him. Notice that Jesus only did what was good. He only told the truth. Yet the charge against him was blasphemy. And the teaching and the preaching and the healing would all subsequently lead him to the cross. That doesn't sound so exciting now, right? That the platform sometimes that we're trying to attain, they actually require death. That many of us are not willing to die. But I am glad that this thing was not hinge-pinged on us. But it was someone. And let me read about him. See, my servant will be successful. He will be raised and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were appalled at you, his appearance was so disfigured that he did not look like a man, and his form did not resemble a human being. So he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths because of him, for they will see what had not been told them, and they will understand what they had not heard. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of a dry ground. He didn't have an impressive form or majesty that we should look at him. No appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised and we didn't value him. Yet he himself bore our sicknesses and he carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We all went away astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to slaughter and like a sheep silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was taken away because of oppression and judgment, and who considered his fate? For he was cut off from the land of the living. He was struck because of my people's rebellion. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, but he was with the rich man at his death. Because he had done no violence and had not spoken deceitfully, yet the Lord was pleased to crush him severely. When you make him a guilt offering, he will see his seed. He will prolong his days, and by his hand, the Lord's pleasure will be accomplished. After his anguish, he will see light and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will carry their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him the many as a portion, and he will receive the mighty as spoil, because he willingly submitted to death and was counted among the rebels. Yet he bore the sin of many and interceded for the rebels. And the good news for us in this room is that he did not stay in the cross, in the tomb, but on the third day he was resurrected for our sin. He was wounded for us. All of the work of his life, the teaching, the preaching, the healing, it all was to point somewhere and to someone. That man, Jesus, who literally gave of himself. Because once he started, he did not stop. For the joy set before him, he endured. He finished. So that those of us who place our faith and trust in that finished work can live with a "it is done" because of the work that he did.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
When he resurrected, he said, "I'm going to leave you someone that's better."
Yes.
And that's the helper, the Holy Spirit, that lives inside of us, that gives us the desire to do that which pleases him. It gives us the motivation of the work of ministry that we all are called to.
Yeah.
And it will help us finish until the day he calls us home.
Yeah.
Or the day he returns.
Yeah.
And literally makes all things new. My prayer for us is that we return to the purity of ministry, where it is literally all about Jesus.